Okay, in the book of Matthew. And we're in Matthew chapter 7. Now, we got started here last time, and we want to continue at a little bit of length. By the way, how can it be Eastern Orthodox Easter? Didn't Christ rise from the dead only once? How come there's two Easters celebrated by the church? It does. Of course, if you were here last Sunday night. Does anybody remember? How come we can have two Easters or two resurrections? It does have something to do with the moon. Pardon? Something to do with that. Okay, I was just sampling here to see who was paying attention. Of course not. We can't be sure, so those dates were chosen by the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. That's why they're a week apart. Okay, let's get busy with Matthew then before our heads get all muddled. Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Okay. My, how some love to take this out of context. Is there ever any time when we as Christians should judge things? Or are the modernists right? Are the purveyors of the social gospel right? Are the Christ deniers with their collars on backwards and wearing robes right? Okay. Somebody else have a take? So what we have so far is we can judge the actions of people, but not their performance. I think you probably meant to say we can't judge their moral character. Okay. Because even a good person can do something that's bad, can't they? Does somebody else have a take? Now, this is a subject here that was going to come up all the time when you talk to people out in the world. Boy, you fundamental Christians are so judgmental. Where do you get off? Don't you know that the Scripture says that you're not supposed to judge? Is there ever a time that Christians ought to judge? And if so, how so? I know it's early in the morning for us to do such a deep level of thinking, but let's attempt it, shall we? What are you going to say to them? Because they are going to say this, don't you know? When you look at somebody and say, I don't like the way your potty mouth operates. What are they going to throw back at you? Marriage is not serial monogamy. What are you going to say? How dare you judge me? Okay, but we're going to have to get a little more specific than that. Where in the manufacturer's handbook are we going to find some directions on how we ought to judge things if we're supposed to? Or is this statement exclusive? Let's read it again now. Now look at the very words as we read it. Chapter 7 and verse 1. judge not, comma, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Judge not, that you be not judged. Now that's a pretty plain statement, isn't it? What's it saying? Judge not, that you be not judged. Somebody explain to me what this says. Okay. Does somebody else have a different take? Should you never tell anybody that they're going to hell?
Well, there's an instructional role where you inform a brother of or sister of spreading from the word.
Okay. Well, now let's think about this for a moment. If that's true, then real evangelistic preaching would have to go, because the real evangelistic preaching has two elements. What are the two elements of a real evangelistic message? You get them lost. And what does that section of the message tell somebody? That they're lost and undone, that they're sinners, and they're on their way to hell. That sounds pretty judgmental to me. And any preacher that doesn't tell people that is letting them down awful short, isn't he? If you're going to preach God's word, it must be without equivocation. If you're lost, you are, without any chance of error, going straight to hell. You will not pass go. You will not collect $200. You will fry in the pit until you're dredged up out of there and stood before the great white throne judgment. And then you'll be finally condemned and cast into the lake of fire. And you're going to be there forever and ever. That sounds a bit judgmental to me. And if I stopped preaching that, would you support me anymore? You'd be mighty foolish if you did. You might as well go over to Dr. Milktoast Church over here and get your ears tickled every Sunday morning. By the way, did you hear? William Sloan Coffin is finally in one. Now he knows the truth. Some of you that managed to pass by the hip generation of the 60s probably don't know who he is. He was that liberal preacher that ran around in the universities telling everybody that the Bible doesn't really mean what it says. There's no such place as hell, and everybody's eventually going to get to heaven. And he went over and criticized the United States in front of every foreign government during the Vietnam War. That stinking rat. I'll guarantee you, on the basis of God's word, he's frying in hell right now. He knows now. Does that sound pretty judgmental? Mm-hmm. Do you think that makes people mad when they hear it? I'll tell you what. If you're effective in your witness for Christ and you're not making anybody mad, I'd like to know how you're doing that. I'm apparently mishandling the word somehow. Because you've got to get them lost before they see the need for salvation. Well, what are you going to do when somebody jumps up? You can't say that William Sloan Coffin is burning in hell. Oh, yes, I can. I just did. And I'm not kidding. I mean it. I'm not glad he's there, but he is. By his own choice. Now, That's a judgment. What am I going to say when somebody comes up to me and says, well, let me take you to Matthew chapter 7. Can't you read that? It says right there in black and white, judge not. Oh, are you trying to bring a new wrinkle into this? Well, explain to us what it is then. It doesn't say judge not, period, does it? Come on, folks, get on the bandwagon with me here. The punctuation's important too, even if it was inserted by the translators. Go ahead, Brother Kirby.
Well, this is the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay. No, I was just asking for somebody to give me some comment on this as to how you would deal with somebody that when you try to give them the gospel, and part of the good news is the fact that there's some bad news, if there's a gospel, doesn't that imply that there's bad news? Well, you better let them know what the bad news is, too. Too much of misdirected preaching is simply giving people the good news without giving them the bad news. What are you going to do when somebody says, hey, wait a minute. Look at that. It says, judge not. It does say that, doesn't it? Well, I want to make sure there was no printer's error in my copy. Okay, Kaylee, enlighten us. Oh, are you trying to say that this is an axiom then? Pardon? Well, of course. What does the so-called golden rule say? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. That's a positive statement, isn't it? Loudly, please. Okay, that's putting the statement in the negative. And they both say the same thing, do they not? Well, what kind of a statement is verse number one then? Now, you've probably been around here long enough to know what I think about lawyers for the most part. But I'll tell you what, when you're reading the text of the Bible, you better learn how to read it like a lawyer. You better be looking to see what the words mean and what it is that the Holy Spirit is telling you. Or somebody will put something over on you. You don't want that, do you? I don't either. So if this is an axiom or a principle, somebody tell me what the principle is. Judge not that you be not judged. We finally got past the idea that the Scripture does not say judge not, period. There's a comma there. A comma is different than a period. What does a comma do? Pardon? I'm sorry? A pause? Okay. It connects the rest of the sentence too. That's right. In computerese, it concatenates the sentence, puts it together. So the whole sentence is judge not that you be not judged. Am I right or wrong? What punctuation mark is after the word judged? A period. A period shows what? This is the end of the sentence. So we better take the whole sentence then. Because the person that's going to try to jerk you up short when you give them the bad news is only going to read the first clause, aren't they? Judge not. Now they won't have any knowledge of the fact that this is the Sermon on the Mount and it is addressed to the nation of Israel and it was never addressed to the Gentiles. They don't even know about that, but I'll get to that in a minute. What do you make out of this then as a Christian? Is there something in here that in between your Christian ears is telling you, that don't sound right? Let's work on the Sermon on the Mount angle for just a moment. Am I making sense? Okay. Okay. That's right. Mm-hmm. Doubtless he meant exactly what he said. He did mean exactly what he said. But is there something in this that sets bells off in the back of your head someplace? Wait a minute. That doesn't sound like it's right. Judge not that you be not judged. Okay. I think there's been a trail struck here. Does this not say that if you wouldn't judge someone else, whatever that means, then you yourself won't be judged? Does this sentence say that or not? So if you wanted to get saved, couldn't you just go through life and not judge anybody else? And if you don't, then God won't judge you. Isn't that what it says? Well, let's suppose that it would be possible. Okay, what's the way? Do you see that in the text here? Does anybody else see that in the text here? Well, I don't either. I'm going to have to back you up on that one. I don't see that. Well, it doesn't really say anything about your neighbor in this particular sentence. It will later. There's just an axiom here. Judge not that you be not judged. So if you're like William Sloane in a coffin, don't judge anything. He thought everything was peachy. Do you think he's escaped judgment? Okay. We're straining at this hard because it's an important point. Yes. Elizabeth? Okay, the pot calling the kettle black. Isn't that a judgment? Oh, okay. So you can make judgments if they're good ones.
You know,
Advice is not judgment. Well, you are making me feel better because my doctor says that I'm too fat. And it's good to know that that's advice and not a judgment. Because otherwise, I'd be forced to hit him. That's the kind of guy that I am. Now, we're kidding around with this a little bit, but there's something really important here because this is a place where when you try to witness, people are going to rise up and say, wait a minute, the Scripture says, judge not that you be not judged. And you're going to have to give them an answer, and if you can't, your witness just ended. Doesn't the Scripture say that you ought to be able to give a reason to anybody that would ask you of the hope that lies within you? Are you going to let them shut you off with this? And the reason I'm spending time here is because this is such a big thing. This is something that you're practically going to run into all the time. And I haven't even got to the motes and the beams yet. Now, as a Christian, how do you get saved? Say it again, Brother Kirby. Sure, you have a personal relationship by faith with Jesus Christ. You don't get saved by not judging people, do you? But that's what this verse says. Did Jesus change his mind? How are you going to answer somebody that says that? Well, you're giving me the gospel here and you're telling me I'm going to go to hell if I don't put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You have no right to judge me. Why, your own book that you think that you're preaching to me says, judge not that you be not judged. I'll guarantee you that every skeptic and scoffer out there knows this verse. He won't know any of the others, but he'll know this one. And he'll tie you in knots. What would you do if you were in a debate and somebody brought this point up? How would you answer them? You'd lose the debate. That's why we're working on this. Didn't you ever wonder yourself, how is it that the Bible says you're not supposed to judge stuff, but then in another place, it tells you that you're supposed to judge stuff? Doesn't the Scripture say in the Pauline epistles that if somebody's stirring up trouble in the church, you're supposed to judge them and throw them out? Does it say that or not? Is that judgmental? I'll guarantee you it is. Well, how are you going to square these two away? It looks like we have a dichotomy here. Boy, this thinking is hard this early in the morning, I know. We should save this for Sunday night, shouldn't we? Now, some of you are morning people. You should be beating me like a drum if you're mourning people. But this verse does not make any differentiation there, does it? It's just a simple, naked axiom. Judge not that you be not judged. So if you don't want to be judged, you better not judge other people. What are you going to say? And I think that I have taught enough about the difference between the Sermon on the Mount and Christianity, or the Gospel of the Kingdom, which is the Sermon on the Mount, and the Gospel of the Grace of God, which is what Paul preached, and how much different that they are, that you should be able to pick up on this now. That's why I'm not just telling you. You've got to think it through for yourself so you'll remember it. And I just gave you a major hint here.
Well, this was written to the Jews and how the Jews will conduct themselves during the millennial kingdom.
Okay, how will they be able to do this? Man, there are some mourning people in here. Praise the Lord for mourning people. The man just stated the facts. Remember that the Sermon on the Mount is preached to the nation of Israel. It's a reiteration of the law. It's true. But during the millennial kingdom, the Old Testament prophets say that God is going to write His law on their hearts. That's Israel's new covenant. You should never forget that. Could Israel, in her state that we find her in Matthew 7, have done this? No. Of course not. So then why is God preaching this to them? Jesus being Jehovah God. Why is He telling them to do something that they can't do? To show them that they can't do it on their own, to get them to do what? Exactly! To get them to do what they should have done all the way back at Mount Sinai when the law was first given. If they'd have been smart, they'd have took one look at those two tables of stone and said, wait a minute, there's no way we can do this. Oh, woe is us. Their mistake was in their pride and self-confidence. Oh, so those are the rules, God? That's okay, we can obey those rules. They're going to do the same thing here, aren't they? What is the purpose of the law? Okay, in a broader sense? It's a schoolmaster to do what? To bring people to Christ. The law was designed to show people that they're lawless, right? That's why the Sermon on the Mount, Christ is preaching the law to the nation of Israel to show them what? They can't keep the law. Wow. So what does a Christian do then when he hears the law? Or somebody that will become a Christian, what does he do when he hears the law? Okay. Let's suppose that somebody comes in here as a lost person, not a Christian, and hears a hellfire, damnation, and brimstone message. And they say, wait a minute, I don't want to go there, but I can't stop doing the things that are going to send me there. Oh, woe is me. What will they do if they're going to become a Christian? Well, sure. Isn't that what it's all about? You stop relying upon yourself to get to heaven and your own good works and start relying on Him instead of yourself. Isn't that what happens when somebody becomes a Christian? Well, sure. They stop relying on their own good works because they suddenly realize they don't have any. That's the purpose of the gospel message. That's the purpose of the first half of a good gospel message, is to show people that they're lost and there's no way they can save themselves. So what's the only alternative that's left? Sure, to look for somebody that can save them, right? That's when we bring in Christ. See? Now does it set off little bells in the back of your head when you see, judge not that you be not judged? If you could do this, would you need Christ? No. Now can you see what's happening here? The purpose of Christ preaching the Sermon on the Mount to the Jews was to show them that they couldn't do these things and to drive them to look for some alternative, right? It was never intended as rules of conduct for a Christian. Can you see that? Can everybody see that? And if you can't, you need to let me know, because I don't want to move off this point until I'm sure you understand this. Okay. Verse 2. Let's carry that same principle one step further. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. What's the punctuation mark that's after the word judged? What? A colon. What does a colon do?
It's
okay, it takes two separate thoughts, which are complete thoughts in themselves, and puts them together as one bigger thought. Good way to put it. Let's read the whole thing. For with what judgment, now pay attention to the words and think about them as we're reading them. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Can somebody tell me what this says? In plain English, what is this saying? Okay, that's a good way to put it. Excellent. Somebody else? Okay, what goes around comes around? See, there's sometimes wisdom even in the things the world says. But there's an opposite to that too, right? Because the judgment seat of Christ is about positive things, not negative things. So suppose you wanted to get to heaven. Could you look at somebody else and say, you're going to heaven. I just judged it, and so therefore I get to go. But that's what it says. Doesn't it say that? You shouldn't tell anybody? Ooh. I know I'm going to heaven. Know it just as well as I know my name. I might forget my name, but I won't forget that I'm going to heaven. Okay. Okay. Well, let's get a little more practical for just a moment. I judge that you would really like an ice cream cone. I would like one too, so when you go over there to that vendor stand and buy yourself one, get me one too. That's what it says, doesn't it? It says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Doesn't it say that? Does that sound funny to you as a Christian? If I judge that somebody else is going to heaven, won't I be judged that way too? That is what it says, even without regard to what's going on in somebody's heart, which I'll grant you, you can't know. It's connected to verse 1. That's a hint. These are difficult thoughts, aren't they? This stuff's pretty deep. Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. How does that come in? Mm-hmm. But it does say in verse 2, for with what judgment, and what's the next word? You judge. So it's talking about your judgment or my judgment. Are you going to be judged in accordance with how you judge, or are you going to be judged in accordance with some other standard? You know, that's what you ought to be thinking as a Christian. Does this apply to me? And it's black and white that it doesn't, but I want you to see that. Kaylee? Yes, Christians are judged according to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, aren't they? But this says, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. So can it possibly apply to a Christian? Can you see that? It's really important that you see that the Sermon on the Mount does not apply to you as a Christian. Now, I know I've probably maybe got some of you wrapped around the axle a little bit because I've gone into great detail on a certain point, but I have something else in mind, and it's this. I don't ever want you to get entangled with the law, to fall into the Galatian error. And what the Galatian error is trying to mix Judaism and Christianity, or trying to mix the law and grace, to put it another way. Doesn't the book of Galatians soundly condemn that? Well, here is where most preachers and a lot of Christians start figuring out that the law and the grace do mix by trying to apply the Sermon on the Mount to Christians. It doesn't apply. Now, there are secondary applications here, aren't there? Doesn't also the New Testament say in the Pauline epistles that we shouldn't go around negatively judging other people? Does it say that or not? Of course it does. Of course it does. But it doesn't say in the Pauline epistles we don't judge somebody else so that we won't be judged the same way, does it? We've already been judged by Christ. It tells us not to judge other people because it's not of grace. And as Elizabeth brought up, you can't really know somebody else's heart. But that's an entirely different reason than what's given in the Sermon on the Mount. Can you see the basis of the Sermon on the Mount is if you're going to keep the law for your salvation, you've got to keep it perfectly. If you can't separate Israel and the church, you're going to fall into a lot of difficulty in trying to make sense out of the Bible. It does say in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 to judge not that you be not judged, doesn't it? In the Pauline epistles, it does say that you're supposed to judge certain things. If you don't separate Israel and the church, you're not going to know how to square those two things away. Yes, Kaylee? Sure. Absolutely. What you explain to them is that, you know, you don't have a clue as to what you're talking about. Let me explain this to you. The reason that Christ preached that to the Israelites was to show them that they needed Him. Isn't that exactly what I've just been telling you? They won't have any more to say. Trust me. And now we're way past time, so we're going to have to quit. That was a good point that you brought up. Dear Lord, we want to thank You for Your Word. And Lord, these things are difficult for us to grasp and to get our minds around. But Lord, once we do, then the glorious freedom that comes from that, never having to think back about how we might be violating the law that You gave to the Jews and we might be judged by that standard. Lord, that takes away from Your glory. It takes away from the fact that You've washed us from our sins, from the blood of Your cross. And You've separated us as far as the east is from the west. And for us to go back and meddle with the law and the sin and all of those things that You've forgiven us for by Your death on the cross. Lord, tells You that Your death wasn't good enough for us, that we have to add something to it. And I pray that every one of us would flee from that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.